Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for bringing us here, to leading us here safely into your sanctuary with others who we rejoice with, and we praise your name with, your name which is above all names. And so, Lord, as we come before you this morning, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and to our minds, that you would speak to our entire persons. A word of good news, a word of conviction, a word of life. And God, I pray that you would use what I have prepared to your glory. And don't let me get in the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in today's passage, we can see that the Jewish believers and church leaders in Jerusalem were pretty unhappy with the Apostle Peter. You see, he had just baptized some Gentiles, that is, some non-Jews, in Caesarea. The story of the household of Cornelius, the baptism of the household, was detailed in the 10th chapter of Acts, the preceding chapter. And in that story, he didn't only baptize those Gentiles, but he ate with them, and he stayed with them, too. And so we have to understand that the Jews just didn't do that sort of thing, really. They did not just eat with Gentiles or stay with them or hang out with them. And so when the Jewish believers in Jerusalem learned that Peter had done all of this without making the Gentiles basically assimilate to Judaism first, being circumcised and adopting the law before being baptized, they were pretty unhappy with Peter. This was a break from their tradition. You see, they at this point were still trying to keep the faith exclusive to Jews to some degree. They were the chosen people according to the scriptures, and so certainly God would have expected the Gentile believers to adhere to and honor the law before they were baptized and welcomed into the community of believers, right? Because when you accept other people in, it changes your community, doesn't it? Well, this was their line of thinking. This was a major point of contention for the early church, and I don't think that the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem had any bad intentions. I don't think they did. Most of them just wanted to honor God, and the only way that they knew how to do that was through mandating and expecting the Christians to keep the law of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, before they were baptized. They didn't yet understand the freedom that was to be received through the gospel. They had seen what God had done in Jesus Christ, but they didn't have that whole picture yet. But over time, through the Holy Spirit, they would see more. Their eyes would be opened more to this good news and how it was freedom from sin for both Jew and Gentile, from how the good news freed them to adhere to the law and to adhere and to practice the law as well. This passage with Peter is part of that revelation of the Spirit. Now, as Peter stood before those elders in Jerusalem, he explained that he didn't just baptize the Gentile believers because he wanted to, you see. He thought like the Jewish Christians before this event, he too would have expected the Gentiles to be assimilated into the Jewish way of thinking because they were unclean. But then something strange happened. He had this vision of the sheet with these animals. And then in verse 15 of this passage, he says that to the Jewish leaders in verse 15, he says, As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. And then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You see, Peter only journeyed to these Gentiles in the first place because the Holy Spirit had prompted him to do so. And when Peter arrived at Cornelius's home, he asked Cornelius, you know, why did you call for me? Because it was 30 miles north of Joppa. And so this question gave Cornelius the time to explain to Peter that an angel of the Lord had appeared to Cornelius and told him to send for Peter. Very specific instructions. Remember last week, Paul was given specific instructions on where to go, the house on Straight Street. And Aeneas was told to go to this house on Straight Street. And so the angel of the Lord gives specific instructions to Cornelius here about where Simon is staying with Simon Peter is staying with a tanner in Joppa named Simon. And so all of this is truly a remarkable story, and it confirms the activity of the Holy Spirit in this moment. And so with this explanation, Peter began to share the good news with these Gentiles, and then something happened. The Spirit came over the men there, like it came over the apostles of Pentecost. And this experience of God, and Jews and Gentiles, right, prompts Peter to ask himself the question that's found in verse 17. He asks, if God gave them, the Gentiles, the same gift he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? The church leaders, they hear this explanation. They seem to realize, at least partially, because they're going to have problems with Gentiles again later in Acts. But they recognize, they could see that God was in fact at work in these Gentiles at this moment. And then they praise God as witness to this in verse 18, saying, so then even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. And so on some level, they realized that following God was not meant to be exclusive to only Jews anymore, and those who would convert and honor the entire law first, all 600 plus commandments in the Old Testament, but it was to be inclusive, welcoming all who believed in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and defeating Satan and death once and for all. The only barrier to the church was the self. The only barrier was whether the individual person would come to believe and sought after doing God's will and loving God and neighbor as themselves, turning from their past only by the grace of God and turning toward the Savior in Jesus Christ. And so in this, God calls Peter and the Jerusalem church to be a more inclusive church where Gentiles are accepted, where people aren't judged about whether they fit in ahead of time or whether they look weird or are dirty or aren't circumcised, as the text said, which was an outward sign of following the law. Or for whatever reason, they weren't excluded because of those things, because when the Spirit descends on the people, they're to be welcomed into the church. This drastically changed the course of the church. We have to understand this. And so what does this have to do with today? Well, to start out, without these revelations and realizations prompted by the Holy Spirit, you and I may not be sitting here today. And being told that we too have the ability to have a relationship, we're called into relationship with the creator of the universe through Jesus Christ. Because if we were non-Jews, that is Gentiles, we might not be welcomed in without these moments here back in the beginning of the church. But also, and I think this is more important because I believe that God would have worked things out, right? If Peter and the Jerusalem church wouldn't have accepted this word, then God would have made something else happen to welcome in Gentiles. I think sometimes my point is that we still get in the way of God. We still get in God's way, even today. Remember the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. They wanted Jesus' disciples to honor this Jewish tradition there, and that was washing hands before they sat down to eat. And so that was to make themselves acceptable, to make themselves clean as they sat with each other. But Jesus refuted them in this passage by asking why they disobeyed the word of God and the commandment to honor mother and father by telling people to give the temple the money that they would have given to take care of their parents. Okay? Jesus says to these religious leaders, you want people to keep your traditions, but you aren't worried about them keeping the commandments of the Lord. And I think sometimes we put our own prejudices, our own stipulations on who can be a Christian, who can be in the church or not. We forget that Jesus said all of the commandments hinge on loving God with your whole heart, with your mind, with your soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. In other words, if what we're doing, either as Christians or as the church, doesn't show complete love for God and our neighbors, then we have to wonder, we have to question ourselves, are we honoring God or are we just honoring tradition? Sometimes we might not say that someone can't come to our church, but we don't invite them because they dress differently. Or we might not say that they don't belong, but we act like they wouldn't belong. We don't include them because they're different for whatever reason. They're weird or they're dirty or they're poor from some other culture or some other race or put any other label here. But in this, we're actually excluding them. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing this. We're acting, whether we acknowledge it or not, as if God can't work in them. But we have to remember that God is working in all people through the Holy Spirit, preveniently. That is, before they even know that God is working in them. No one needs to be, nor should be, on the outside of God's love and grace. No one is going to be. Because we don't have the say in that. For we are all created in the image of God. And so in conclusion, brothers and sisters, I urge you to not make the church some exclusive club. We can't decide for ourselves whether a person is fit for the kingdom of God, but look to the work of the Holy Spirit in them to discern whether you see God moving in them. We're all dirty in some way. If it weren't for Christ and his gracious act of holy love on the cross, his witness to its effectiveness by his resurrection, a resurrection that we are all invited to share in one day. If it weren't for the Son of God assuming full humanity, remaining fully divine in the person of Jesus Christ, taking on all of our sin, we all would be left to die in that sin. But praise be to God. Jesus did come, he did live, he did die, and he was raised to life so that in him we all, who were dirty, can be made clean by his blood. And so church should be inclusive, welcoming our human brothers and sisters inside, witnessing to them in the world God's work in their lives. Because you never know, there might be a Cornelius here today, or maybe just down the road. And so ask yourselves, where is the Spirit prompting you to go today? Who's the Spirit prompting you to love today, to welcome in today, and then to go as the Spirit leads you in holy love and God's perfect grace? Amen.